It's crossed to the UK. Matt Dathan's our correspondent. Hello, Matt.
Hello there.
I don't think many of us would have missed the cringing video of Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister, just completely blanking out, just speaking to a business audience. What's been the reaction since?
Yeah, well, it's been a pretty bad week for Boris Johnson, and it comes after a really kind of torrid couple of weeks he's had with the scandals in his own party and fallout from the COP26 summit, etc., etc. Yeah, it was a very rambling speech in which he kept on talking about his visit to Peppa Pig World, which he went to with his son and wife on Sunday. He then compared himself to Moses, and he also kept on losing himself in his speech. And if you think about it, this isn't a speech to the Conservative Party conference or a drinks party. This is one of the most serious speeches he does have to give. It was to the CBI conference, Confederation of British Industry. Leading business leaders were really not impressed coming out of that conference, and various backbench Tory MPs as well have laid into Boris Johnson. And the fallout has been quite significant. I mean, we've heard this evening that now 14 letters of no confidence from Tory MPs have been submitted. And there's no suggestion that he's going to suffer the same fate as Theresa May did when she kept on receiving letters of no confidence, which then triggered a leadership contest. He'd need, I think, around about 80 letters to trigger a leadership contest. But it's just a sign of how discontented Conservative MPs are at his general performance.
Do we think there's a wider issue, or it simply was straightforward as he lost his place and in his notes and couldn't think of something to say? He's got a stressful job and a lot going on. Has anyone made any more of it than that?
I think it is actually being perceived as much a wider problem. Dominic Raab, the Justice Secretary, is Deputy Prime Minister, and his cabinet members will insist, you know, this is the Prime Minister who loves to be funny and loves to sort of be ad hoc and make jokes, etc. Despite it being a business conference. But I think in the wider party and also in Westminster, I think there's a realisation that this is a Prime Minister who has been really rocked over the last 3 weeks over several different issues. And I think there's a general kind of concern there that he's a Prime Minister who is quite distracted at the moment. He's also, he realises his weaknesses. It came after, you know, that really quite damaging U-turn they made over MPs' second jobs and the big scandal over the sleaze scandal of Owen Paterson and various other MPs like Geoffrey Cox, who've been sort of seen to be doing their second jobs in the Caribbean, for example. So I think it's a combination of factors that have ended up in this terrible speech, which kind of summed up how distracted and how underperforming the Prime Minister is right now.
Is that causing any particular response within the party other than concern?
Well, it certainly triggered a dozen or so of them to submit letters of no confidence, which is pretty much as far as you can go as a backbench MP to voice your displeasure. But it's also, you know, it's been seen in the polls as well. He's losing support in the polls. Keir Starmer had, I think, his first lead in a poll about a week ago. And I think, you know, given that Prime Minister's performance has just gone further downhill, I think it's going to cause a lot of concern. And if you think about it, you know, yes, we are quite a way away from a general election, but we've got a few by-elections, Owen Paterson's, for example, coming up, and a couple of other by-elections where I think, although they're safe Tory seats and they will almost certainly win them, if they don't win them by as large a margin as they would normally or did last in the last election, I think that will just continue this sort of narrative that Boris Johnson possibly isn't the right person to take the Tories into the next election.
He's also been in a spot of bother over being caught not wearing a mask again at a theatre and actually having been requested to. It does seem to be a bad time in the headlines for him, put it that way.
Yeah, that's right. He doesn't help himself, does he? And it sort of leads into this narrative that he is this arrogant Tory who thinks he's above the rules. And that is a narrative that the Labour Party have been trying to build ever since Keir Starmer came in. You know, the arrogant Tories handing contracts during the pandemic to their friends. You know, Matt Hancock handing a key contract to his neighbour, who's a pub landlord, etc., etc. It feeds into that narrative that the Tories are arrogant, which they've obviously always had to battle against. But yeah, Boris Johnson didn't wear a mask three weeks ago now in a hospital. Seen not wearing a mask in a hospital, which really was quite concerning. And then he didn't apologise for it. And then he's now been seen as in a theatre which required you to wear a mask throughout. And he was apparently coughing and spluttering, etc., and talking throughout. And sort of plays into this narrative that he's arrogant and above the rules. Although, you know, here in the UK, the restrictions are rapidly lifting. Mask wearing is not that commonplace anymore. You only really have to wear it on the tube, and certain venues will require it, but it's not required by law. So I think it's a bit, I mean, Labour will obviously make a much bigger thing of it than it really is. I think the mask wearing is a bit of a storm in a teacup. It just sort of plays into that narrative that he's arrogant.
Now, a terrible incident, another sinking and many deaths, dinghy capsized in the Channel.
Yeah, it's a real tragedy, which I'm afraid to say it's been quite inevitable this is going to happen. I mean, in November alone, we've seen more than 6,000 migrants cross the Channel in small boats. And considering considering we're down to sort of 6-7 degrees in the daytime, you can see what a treacherous journey that is, a 21-mile journey across the busiest shipping lane in the world. So far this year, we've seen more than 26,000 people cross the Channel. That's triple the amount last year. And yes, we've seen at least 33 people now confirmed dead after a boat capsized off the coast of northern France. And this comes, luckily, the only after around about 12 people previously this year have died. The thing is, though, we don't know if there are any more, because many crossings go unreported and many deaths will therefore go unreported. 33 deaths in one capsizing has triggered a major crisis in France and in the UK, where Boris Johnson held a meeting of his emergency COBRA meeting. France's their interior minister is doing a press conference later tonight. It's really kind of focused minds on a crisis that has been rumbling in the background all of this year. I've been reporting it in my own job as Home Affairs editor, but I think it's only really hit the headlines in the last few weeks when the numbers have kept on climbing in what is a winter, you know, real bitter winter month. And as was referred today, a real tragedy. Which has luckily not happened until now. But I think speaking to people today in the Border Force and Home Office, they're saying, well, maybe this might actually help in terms of stopping people making the crossing in the future. They've now seen how treacherous and how deathly it could be. And then a similar incident happened when dozens of Vietnamese migrants died in the back of a lorry coming over the ferry in, I think, 2018. That's actually stopped quite a lot of migrants, especially Vietnamese migrants, making that type of journey and actually pushed them towards the Channel route, a small boats route. And some officials are saying, well, maybe this will be the big kind of moment where we have a deterrent factor that will stop further migrants crossing.
And just finally, there's a development with electric vehicle charging points. This is going to become, what, part of building requirements?
Yeah, that's right. So it's following after the COP26, and you know, there's going to be a lot of green announcements following that in the UK. We're all trying to find out how we can individually help cut our emissions. The government had already announced that they will ban the sale of new petrol and diesel cars from 2030 as they try and sort of push everyone towards buying and acquiring electric vehicles. But one of many obstacles to that is the lack of charging points. There's only 25,000 charging points in the UK, which is quite extraordinary given this population of, 65 million people. The announcement that Boris Johnson wanted the media to focus on in his speech on Monday was that all new buildings, the homes and public all new buildings will have to have charging points attached to their homes from next year. So I think that's a real big kind of change in direction from the government. It's going to be quite costly for developers, and there's still quite a lot of questions over the fact that government aren't going to subsidise the smaller developers and how costly this will be to taxpayers. But, it's something that has to happen if we are really going to get everyone driving electric vehicles by the end of the decade.
Thank you, Matt. Matt Dathan, our correspondent in the UK today.